It's a distinct pleasure to welcome you to the worship service this Sabbath morning. It's a lovely morning. Sun is shining. The weather is warming up. We are comfortable in the house of the Lord, and we thank Him for His many blessings. It's so good to welcome you into our service, welcome worship with us in our service, and it's good also to be able to welcome those around the world who are joining us on the World Wide Web. I'd like to take just a moment before we get into the sermonette this morning. We're having communion. But I'd like to take just a moment to follow up on Celia's scriptures that she read for the sermonette this morning, scriptures on faith. And I want to share something with you, something that happened to Celia and me this week. And it's just strengthened our faith so much. And I think we need to share these types of experiences with our fellow brothers and sisters. So that's why I'm taking a few moments to start to do that this morning. Several years ago, we had a renter. You know, we have rentals. Several years ago, we had a renter who moved away owing us several thousand dollars. Well, we, in the meantime, have been trying to find where this lady works so we can garnish her wages, try to get some of our money back. And so we have an attorney working on it. In addition to an attorney, we also have a part-time private detective working on it, trying to find the address where this lady works. Well, the phone rang this week, and by the way, they've been working, this attorney and this part-time private detective, been working on it now for quite a while. Phone rang this week, and... Pardon?
We were in prayer meeting.
Yeah, that's right. We were in prayer meeting. When we got home, it was on the message was on our answering machine. So the lady said, "I'm so and so, and I'm wondering if you might like to know where so and so works. I think you might, and if you do, if you'll give me a call, I can tell you where she works. I can give you her address." So I called. I said, "I'm Filmer Hevener. And you left a message on my answering machine saying that you know where so-and-so works." She said, "Yes, I know where she works. And would you like to know where she works?" I said, "I certainly would. I've had an attorney and a part-time private detective trying to figure it out." And she said, "Well, I can give you the address and of the place where she works. I can give you her phone number." So she did. And I wrote that information down, obviously, sent it on to my attorney, and we... are able to get that ball rolling again. But now just think of the miracle. Here we have an attorney, and we have a part-time private detective trying to get information, and the Lord has this lady, directs this lady to our phone number, to us for some reason. I'm not sure exactly where she got her name or how she came by our phone number, whatever. She did say, "I went to your chapel website and got your phone number." But how she knew that we were trying to get in touch with this particular person, I don't know. But anyway, what a miracle.
Yeah.
This lady just called and says, "I have some information, and I think you'll want it." I said, "I certainly will." So, brother and sister, the Lord is good.
Yeah.
He's faithful. If we're faithful to Him, He's faithful to us. And we just thank Him for the many, many miracles that He performs for us. But we wanted to share that. Celia and I were just discussing it, I guess it was last evening, and we decided that we needed to share these kinds of things with you. So,
we also had the same problem. The person moved in, didn't pay, and left.
She also had the same problem, yes. Anyway, we thank the Lord that He answers prayer. And that He looks out for His own. And we are His own, brother and sister. We are His own. We are His children. And He says, "If you love me, you'll do what I say. You'll keep my commandments. You'll keep my word." And to the best of our ability, through the grace of the Holy Spirit, we are trying to do that. Now, let's come to the sermonette for the morning. In my opinion, we don't, as Christians, spend nearly enough time contemplating the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us on the cross. I'm afraid we take His sacrifice for granted. I'm afraid we just kind of assume that He was obligated in some way or another to sacrifice Himself, to spill His blood on the cross of Calvary. But brother and sister, He was not obligated to do this. He was not obligated at all. He did it out of love. He did it because He wants to spend eternity with you. He wants to spend eternity with me. So I want to spend just a few minutes this morning in this sermonette looking, reviewing a few passages, a few verses from the book of John chapter 19, and then we're going to drop back to John chapter 13. But to review the crucifying scene that Jesus is experiencing here. John chapter 19. And the situation is simply this. Pilate, Jesus is brought before Pilate. Pilate has Jesus taken and scourged. Verse 2, and the soldier planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. They're mocking him as the king. He called himself the king, and they're mocking him, putting on a purple robe, putting a crown of thorns on his head. Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Now remember, this is the one who created these people. He created them, and here they are mocking him, putting on his head a crown of thorns, putting on him a purple robe of ridicule. Verse 4, and Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Oh, what a politician Pilate was. He goes to those who brought Christ to him. I've tested him. I can't find anything wrong with him. I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns, the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. What powerful words. Behold the man. That could have been the title of the sermonette this morning. Do we behold the man? How much time each day do we spend thinking upon the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us? The love that He demonstrated through that sacrifice. Behold the man. And when the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Well, if I find no fault in him, why do I give him to some to these critics to crucify him? The epitome of being a politician, Pilate. Now let's come over to verse 15. But they cried out, Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate said unto them, Still, or shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered. Notice, these are the religious leaders of the day. These are the spiritual leaders of the day. The chief priests. The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. They are choosing Caesar, the heathen ruler, over Jesus Christ, their creator. 16, Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called the Hebrew tongue Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the people where Jesus was crucified was nigh in the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Those were the three languages that were used at this time. The Hebrew, the Greek and the Latin. Latin, of course, the Roman. Verse 21, "Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the king of the Jews, but he said, I am king of the Jews. And Pilate did show a little backbone finally, and Pilate said, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments, made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. And now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Then they said therefore among themselves, Let us now not rend it, but cast lots for it, and whose it shall be, then that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiments among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, this is John, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. And this Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Well, we go on, and he's given vinegar, of course. He rejects that. Coming down to verse 33. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. Forthwith came out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and the record is true. And he knoweth that he that saith true, that ye might saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of his bone, a body, shall not be broken. And so, we have a brief summation there of the crucifixion of Christ. And now we drop back several pages to chapter 13, going back to the Last Supper, Jesus having the Last Supper with his disciples in the upper room. And this is the setting for that, chapter 13 of the book of John. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world and to the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end. How do we know Jesus loved us unto the end? He died for us. He endured this suffering, not the physical pain. He endured the humiliation. Not for what he had done, because he himself was perfect. But he did it for your sins and for my sins. And every day, I believe we need to spend a few moments thinking about the tremendous sacrifice, the tremendous love that Christ demonstrated, that you and I have the assurance, trusting in Him, having our sins covered by His blood, knowing that we indeed will spend eternity with Him and have eternal life. Verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil now having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. Verse 5, after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. You know, Jesus said, I've come into this world to be a servant. I didn't come into the world to be served. I came into the world to be a servant. And he came in as a babe, as a servant, and he goes out as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as a servant, washing his disciples' feet. Being his followers, should we not also be servants? Is he not our example? Is he not our model? We are not to be served, he said. He said he wasn't to be served, but he came to serve, and that too should be our motto. We are here to serve as children of Christ. Verse 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. Peter said unto him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. That is, Peter didn't understand the significance of what Christ was doing, the spiritual significance. Peter didn't understand that the next day Christ was going to be sacrificed as the ultimate sacrificial lamb on Passover. Later you'll understand, Jesus says, Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Can you imagine having no part with Jesus, having no part of Jesus in your life, no hope of Jesus in your life? Peter couldn't stand the thought. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my head, my hands and my head. Peter says, I can't be separated from you. If this is necessary, wash my whole body, hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Peter didn't understand that this was not just a physical washing. It was a spiritual washing. It was a symbolic washing. We might call it the literal baptism. Cleansing of our sins by the washing away of those sins through the washing of the feet. But you'll be clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Of course, he's speaking of Judas. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. Speaking of spiritually clean, of course. So after he had washed their feet, had taken his garment, had sat down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Do you understand the significance of what I just did? You call me Master and Lord. And you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, if I have served you, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. You ought to serve others, your fellow believers. For I have given you an example. Christ is very explicit here. I have given you an example. This is what you're to do. And this is one thing I like about Christ. He didn't just say what we should do. He demonstrated through His life what we should do, including the servitude and the sacrifice that He made. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you, all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And now I tell you before it come, that then when it is come to pass, that ye may believe it, that I am He. Verse 21, then Jesus had thus said, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one at another, doubting of whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask if it should be of him whom he spoke. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him, then said unto Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spoke unto him. For some of them thought that Judas had the bag, that is, he was the treasurer. That Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast of the Passover, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Brothers and sisters, there's no way that we can fully appreciate what Christ has done for us. If you can, think for a moment what your future would look like without Christ. What would your future look like? What would my future look like without resurrection morning? Without the promise that we will rise from the grave. And as Christ overcame death and arose from the grave on the first day of the week, so we too, through His power, through faith in Him, will rise on resurrection morning. What kind of a future would you have this morning if Christ were not in your life? If the hope that He brings you through the resurrection and through eternal life were not in your life, how bleak, how dark, and how dismal this world would be. We thank the Lord this morning. We thank Christ this morning for His sacrifice. We thank Him for His example. And this morning we're going to take a few moments to go into the prayer room. The men will go into the prayer room. The ladies will go into the fellowship hall. And we're going to conduct the ceremony, participate in the ceremony that He asked us to participate in, showing ourselves servants and being humble and being willing and being blessed to be able to serve our fellow brother or our fellow sister by washing his feet. May the Lord bless us as we fellowship together. And after you have finished washing your feet, if you'd like to sing a hymn, that would also be appropriate, I think. And then we will, when the ladies are finished, just come back into the sanctuary. And the gentlemen are finished, we'll come back into the sanctuary. And then we will go on with the receiving of the bread and the wine, the Lord's Supper. Let's separate now.